Good morning to you. This is Pastor Ken Harger coming your way and welcome you to another broadcast service this Sunday morning. Our message this morning is partnership with God provides security. I'm coming to you either by the way of WDLP 93.1 building at 7 o'clock, and we stream this broadcast live by the way of WDLP.fm. Some of you have tuned in by the way of Ionia, I-1430 AM or 92.7 FM at 8 o'clock. Others of you have tuned in by the way of Greenville, WGLM, 106.3 FM at 9 o'clock. And we're now streaming both of these broadcasts live by the way of the web. Some of you have tuned in by the way of Internet Radio at earsradio.com at 11 o'clock. And I welcome those of you from Ears Radio. Some of you tuned me in by the way of Sermon Cloud, and one of the ways to get to Sermon Cloud is through my website, PastorKenHarger.com. Go to the page that says Messages from the Lighthouse. Scroll down until you see Sermon Cloud. Click on Sermon Cloud, and it takes you right to my storage place where I got about 30, 35 messages just waiting to be listened to. And the only way you got to do that is you can click on earphones, and you can hear it right there. Or else you can download it, and you're more than welcome, if you know how to do that, to go ahead and do that as well. As I come your way this day, I'm coming to you from the Lighthouse. It is a Tuesday evening that I put the message together today for today's service. Give you a little update what's happening in Long Lake. We got a beautiful evening this Tuesday evening. But, you know, they've been cutting weeds now for about 4 or 5 days. They come in with a couple machines, and they cut weeds. They haul them out by the truckloads and haul them away, and hopefully that's going to help us in weed control as far as in the water is concerned. And tonight there's a bass tournament going on. There's some other fishermen out as well. Down at the State Landing, there's some kids swimming. I can hear them in the background. And then also we've got the seagulls back. I don't understand the seagull, but anyway, they don't come until about this time in August, and then all of a sudden we must have, 300-400 of them out there just in the center of the lake, swimming around and enjoying themselves as well. So I guess we welcome the seagulls back this morning. Even though that isn't something that we enjoy having here at the lake, that's the way it is. Well, as we get started in our message this morning, Jesus is going to be talking today about money and the part that money should play in our life and the part that money shouldn't play in our life. So we thought we'd start out this morning with a song that says, Treasures Money Can't Buy. Can I just share this with you? I remember many years ago when we was raising our children, my first daughter got married. She called me up, and I mean, she told me after marriage, maybe the next time we seen her, and she said, Dad, something you always said, and I'm not going to say to my children, is that you'd set us down and say, kids, we don't have as much money as other people have, so we can't do some of the things that other people can do. We can't buy some of the name brand clothes that other people can do. And she said, I'm never going to say that to my kids. And I just smiled at her and said, that's all right, honey. That's where we was at. Maybe you'll be able to do that. Maybe you'll be able to have a little more money than we have. Well, her husband's in the ministry, and there wasn't nobody gets rich in the ministry, at least if you're serving the way God would have us to serve. And, you know, after she had about a third child, one evening she called me. She says, Dad, I got to tell you something. I told you when I got married I would never say we don't have enough money to do this or that. But she said, after we've had the third child here, they wanted to do something. And I sat in on the floor with them, and I said, kids, we don't have enough money to do all the things that other people do. And she said the exact thing that I said to her. And when I told that to her, I said, you know what, honey? You will learn one of these days that there's treasures that money can't buy. And you know, folks, that's true today. There's treasures that money can't buy. And I hope that you've learned that for your life, because it can make a lot of difference in your life when you realize it's not the money thing that really matters, but it's the relationship that we have. So here we go. We're listening to this song that says, Treasures Money Can't Buy. Thank you for tuning me in.
While driving one day through the quiet country, an old man was walking, to offer to ride. His face was all wrinkled, his hair turned to gray. And these are the words that he had to say. I may look like a beggar, but I'm rich as a king. What I have in my heart gives me reason to sing. I'm a joiner with Jesus, so why should I sigh? And these are the treasures that money can't buy. Money is worthless when a soul is at stake. If gold bought redemption, how much would it take? But he loved me and he saved me, and I can't explain why. And these are the treasures, these are the treasures that money can't buy. If you look at my garments, you'll notice they're torn. But I've a new royal garment, I've been reborn. And the cabin I live in is home till I die. But I've a home up in glory that money can't buy. Money is worthless when a soul is at stake. If old bought redemption, how much would he take? But he loved me and saved me, and I can't explain why. These are the treasures, these are the treasures that money can't buy. Yes, he loved me and he saved me, and I can't explain why. These are the treasures, these are the treasures that money can't buy.
I trust you've learned that there's a lot of treasures that money can't buy. And I love the idea of what he's sharing with us in that song, that even though he doesn't understand why Jesus would love him that much. And I don't understand what I'm going to be talking about this morning. Now, don't tune me off yet. Don't tune me out. But, you know, we're talking about partnershiping with God. Why would God want to be a partner with me? Why would God want to be a partner with us as human beings? And yet the Lord Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden. Join with me," he's saying. He's asking us to yoke up with him as partners and to do what he wants us to do in our individual lives. And he wants the partnership with us to give us the courage and the strength to do so. That's what we're going to be addressing this morning. And I trust as we go through the message, you have a little better understanding of who God is and why he wants to partner with you. So let's just bow for a moment to prayer, though. Get our hearts and minds ready to receive the message that God has for us today. Dear Father, we come to you once again. We come in the name of your Son, Jesus. And we thank you for him. We thank you that he was willing to lay aside heaven and all the glory that he had with you. And he is willing to become one of us. And he was tried and tested in every way like we are. And yet he was without sin, so he knows how to help each one of us. What a privilege you've given to us this morning to talk about the idea of partnershiping with you, being yoked up with your Son, the Lord Jesus, and him working in our lives and giving us the privilege not only to have things that we never thought was possible for us, such as security, but Father, he gives us the opportunity to use that security that we rest in him to be able to help others find some security as well. So would you speak to our hearts this morning and show us what we need to know? I pray in Jesus' name and for his sake. You know, folks, it's very human for each and every one of us to want to be in control of our life. We feel sometimes a sense of security when we think we are in control. But when we think it through, we are not as much in control as we think we are. I think about often driving a car, thinking I'm keeping my car under control. And I may think I'm in charge. But you know, when you realize this, as you drive your car, your automobile down the road, there's many other drivers. And as a result, I'm not as in control as I think I am, because I'm not in control of those other drivers. In this day and age, we hear a lot of road rage taking place and a lot of difficulties coming into people's lives because of that. That's people who really think they are in control not only of their vehicle, but they think they should be in control of your vehicle as well. But, you know, that's not the only way it is. You know, we realize that you're driving down the road and we're hoping everything's going to work out. But I got to tell you, if you ever had the check engine light come on, you realize, hey, I'm not as much control as I think I was, you know. I remember my son who didn't know much about mechanics, but I remember the one time the engine light came on in his car, and probably a lot of people in the world would do what he did. He got out, raised the hood, and said, check the engine. He took a look at it and said, looks okay to me. Got back in and got driving down the road. Well, that's a realization that we're not as much in control as we think we are. You know, we can be going along just fine, and all of a sudden we have a flat tire. Bevy and I was up the cabin, we hit something with our car, and I had two flat tires. Well, you know, you only have one spare. So you see, we're not quite as much in control as we think. But this week, what I'd like to have us think about is the foundation for our study. I want us to think about how real or true security comes to us when we turn control of our lives over to God. When we surrender to Him and let Him become the leader of our lives. When we acknowledge Him in all the ways of our life. When let Him give us the security of Him being in charge, not us. In the Psalms, it speaks of things that are not a part of our life today. But it helps to describe the security that you and I can have in God. So I want to go back and pick up some of these Old Testament words, even though they don't speak to our minds and heart as much as they did in the days that they were written, to help us describe, to help us understand, rather, the security that we have in God. Who lives under the shelter of the Most High will remain in the shadow of the Almighty. Now, you and I can know about a shadow. And God is saying to you and I, that's still something that's very common to us. You know what he's really saying? We can live in the shadow of this Almighty God. That he is the Most High. And yet at the same time, we can have that shelter. The Most High will remain under the shadow of this Almighty God. I will say to the Lord, Lord, you're my refuge. Now, I don't know what you think of, but you know, in the Old Testament time, the word refuge was something that was very much spoken of, very often spoken of, being a refuge. That was a place of safety and security. He went on to say, you're my fortress. That's what they did with cities, you know. They built cities high on a hill so they could see what was going on. And then to make it to be a fortress or to make it be a safe shelter, why, what they would do is they'd build walls. You know, some of the walls that we read about in the Old Testament time, those walls were big enough, it said, that you could turn a chariot around on those walls. When you think about that, they built them in days when they didn't have all the equipment that we have today, and yet they built those walls. That was to give the idea of a fortress. It just was a safe city. It's a place of refuge. You can find safety within this city's walls. My God, in whom I trust, you're my refuge. You're my fortress. He is the one who will rescue you from the hunter's trap and from deadly plagues. Because sometimes it's the idea, you know, that things are trying to trap us. Man, if you study the life of the Lord Jesus very much, you find that they were constantly trying to trap him in his words and all those kinds of things. And he's saying Satan likes to do that as well. And so we realize, he says, this is what God's promise is. This is where I find my security, God is, he's saying to us. You know where that security is? He will cover us with his feathers. And under his wings, we will find refuge. You see, folks, it's under the wings of God that we can find refuge. He covers us as a mother hen does, her chicks, to protect them. I think I've said this many different times, but you know, they found chickens that died in a barn fire. And when they moved the chicken from the nest where it was setting, underneath the chicken is all of the chicks. The mom would give her life to protect the chicks. It says God's truth is your shield and it's your armor. That's from Psalm number 91, verses 1 through 4. David described what being under God's control was like. Under the shelter is like under an umbrella of God's protection. A shadow to me speaks about closeness to God, because he cast a short shadow. No variableness with him. You are my refuge, God. You are my fortress. You are my shelter. You are my protection from all kinds of danger and all kinds of distresses. We are secure when we are covered with God's feathers. And under his wings, we find that security. We find that safety. We really find security. If you will be patient and wise and work the truth of these descriptive words down into your heart, you will find freedom to draw near to God and experience his closeness to you in ways that you've never experienced it before. Just say to yourself before God and say to God from your heart, God, you're my refuge. You're my place of safety. God, I want to live under the umbrella of your protection. God, I want to live close enough to you that I'm walking in your shadow. I think we need to realize, let's go on, let go of your being in control. You know, we can lead certain parts of our life, but like I said at the beginning, we're not near as much as the control as we think we are. I think what I want to say this morning when I think about this first part of the message, God, you're my refuge. Lord Jesus, you're my fortress. You're my protector. I feel secure under your wings of comfort. Just like the little chicks under the wings of the mama's protection. We need that, folks, in this day and age. We're trying to control our own lives, and in trying to control our own lives, many times we come to that point where we realize we're not as much in control as I thought I was. And when you think about it, there's so much in your everyday life that you're not in control of. That's why we need this partnership with God that provides security for our lives. I was thinking about this idea that God wants to be to us our security. But in order for God to do that to us or for us, we need to do some things that God tells us we must do for him to have the freedom to move into our lives and be the controller of our lives. One of the most important things about this that we need to do is given to us in Matthew 6. He said, no man can serve two masters, for either he'll hate one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to one and despise the other. Ever tried working for two bosses? It's not easy to do. One of them you might like, and the next one you won't, the other one you won't. You cannot serve God and man or money. Therefore, God is saying to us, tell you what I want. Don't worry about your life, what you eat, what you drink, or about your body, what you wear, what you put on it. Is not life more than food and body and more than clothing? I ask you that question. Is not life more than that? Then God is so simple in his illustration through his son Jesus. Jesus said, look at the birds. And probably there were sparrows around there when he was talking. For they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. They don't have no barns. They don't sow, they don't reap. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you know what the bottom line of all that is to help us in our journey about the security that God wants to give us? He asked the question then, and I hope you've got an answer, and it's a positive answer to his question. Are you not more valuable than the birds? The Heavenly Father provides for the birds. He's asking us, are you not more valuable than the birds? I hope you say yes. Which of you, by worrying, can you add even a cubit to your stature? You can't. That worrying isn't going to help you any, folks. God's reminding us that's not what it's about. He said, I want you to know that I'm going to take care of you. I want you to know that you're more valuable to me than the birds, and I take care of the birds. He first reminds us that we need to decide who or what we allow to become the master of our life. What do you want to be in charge of your life? You want to be in charge of your life? Sometimes we find out other things and other ones are in charge of our life. He wants us to only have one master. And along with that, he wants us to limit how much worrying we do, what we worry about. As an illustration of care, he reminds us of how he meets the needs of the birds. He uses this to tell us that he knows our daily needs. God knows that you need food. God knows you need drink. God knows you need clothing. God knows you need shelter. Now, he wants you to do your part. But he promises, I take care of the birds. I'll take care of you. That's his promise. The birds don't have barns. They don't gather up ahead of time. I take care of them. Jesus is now ready to tell us what is the most important thing for us to do in order to have security in our life. It has to do with you and I surrendering our control of our life to God. We must keep the main thing, Jesus shares with us what the main thing is. But let me do that again. We must keep the main thing, and Jesus shares with us what the main thing is. Are you ready for the main thing? But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and seek God's righteousness for your life. As you seek God, you will find his righteousness for your life. Now here's what he promises. And all these things shall be added unto you. Seek God first, and he'll add all the food and clothing and shelter you need. But make the main thing. And the main thing is seeking God first. Somehow, as best you know how, and what you know, and what you understand, allow God to become number one in your life. Come to that place where you surrender to him the realization that you are not able to control your life by yourself. Partnershiping with God provides security. And that's the first step of that security. Is you and I yielding the control of our life to God, saying, God, I mess up things. I want you to lead me and direct me. That's why my life's verse is, in all your ways acknowledge him, and don't lean unto your own understanding, and he will direct your path. As best I've known how in these 82 years of my life, and 62 of them, now better than 62 of them walking with Jesus, I've allowed him to try to be the controller of my life. God shares, no one can serve two masters. For either you'll hate the one and you'll love the other, or else you'll be loyal to one and despise the other. He tells us there's danger in trying to serve two masters. It involves a love-hate relationship. It develops a loyal-despise relationship. This will never produce security in your life. You can't be in boss and God boss, too. You can't be in charge and God in charge, too. One day, Jesus dealt with such a person who wanted security in his life. But he could not make the decision to serve Jesus because he was serving the master of money. And you know what? When Jesus got through telling him what he needed to do, he turned and he walked away from Jesus and he walked away from serving God. I want to share that with you in just a few moments. But before we do, I need to come back. I need to have us listen to a song that is reminding us what's the most important thing in your life. To make Jesus number one. That's the main thing of your life. When that's done, then the rest of it all fall in order. But know what, guys? This song that we're going to listen to says, you know what it really takes? It takes you and I obeying God. Sometimes people think that if they do sacrifices to God, if they sacrifice in their life, if they just kind of just do some things that they kind of give God the freedom to do in their life. And for instance, like just saying, God, I'm going to sacrifice this day, or I'm going to sacrifice this thing, and this is how I'm going to get to know you better. And God saying, no, it's not going to weigh. It's not you not doing things or giving up things. God wants you to surrender your control of your life. But he's not talking about you giving up things. He's talking to you about obeying him. And this song deals with that, and then I'll come back and share the rest of the message with you. But I love this song because it's telling us it's better to obey God than to do sacrifice. It's better to obey God. Walk the ways he wants you to walk. That's why he said, seek me and seek my righteousness. Seek my way of living for your way of living. Let's listen in. I'll be right back.
Obey is better than sacrifice. I don't need your money. I want your life. And I hear you say that I'm coming back soon. But you act like I'll never return. Well, you speak of grace and my love so sweet. How you thrive on milk but reject my meat. And I can't help weeping at how it will be if you keep on ignoring my word. And succeed, but your flesh is something I just can't feed. To obey is better than sacrifice. I want more than Sundays and Wednesday nights. 'Cause if you can't come to me every day, then don't bother coming at all. I want hearts of fire, not your prayers of ice. And I'm coming quickly to give back to you according to what you have.
He wants something more, folks. He wants something more than our sacrifice. He just doesn't want our prayers. He just doesn't want us to do a little deed now and then for him. To do some things whereby we maybe do as you're doing just now, listening to a radio broadcast that's talking about him. He wants your heart. He wants to be the leader of your life. He wants you to know that he cares about you. He wants you to know that he cares about what you're dealing with in your individual life. We're going to continue on about this man who was trying to serve his master money. And Jesus wanted to talk to him. But Jesus didn't initiate the conversation. This man initiated the conversation. Jesus had just finished doing some teaching. He was just about ready to start walking away. And a man came running up to him. He knelt before him. And he asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to receive eternal life?" Jesus said, "Why do you call me good?" Jesus asked him. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not accuse anyone falsely. Do not cheat. Respect your father and mother." The man interrupted. He said, "Teacher, teacher," the man said, "ever since I was young, I have obeyed these commandments." I love what Jesus did next. Jesus looked straight at him, and he looked at him with love. Now, I can't tell you what that look was like, but you've known it when somebody looks at you with love. You know that in your heart. Jesus looked at him with love. And then Jesus said to him, "You need only one thing. Go and sell all you have and give the money to the poor. And you will have riches in heaven. Then come and follow me. Let me be the controller of your life," he's saying. Right now, money's in charge of your life. Everything you do and everything you're about is about money. Get rid of that. Come and follow me, Jesus is saying. When the man heard this, gloom spread all over his face. And he walked away sad because he was very rich. He wasn't only rich, he was very rich. Jesus went on to take the occasion to tell them how hard it is for one who trusts in his riches to enter into the kingdom of God. For you and I to understand that, he said, you know what? It would be easier for a camel, which is one of the biggest animals there is. It'd be easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. His disciples responded, they said, "Then Lord, who can be saved?" And Jesus said, "All things are, even those things that are impossible, are possible with God." I love that. It's possible with God. God can do that. But you have to be willing to surrender the master of money in your life. It was this man's master. And he wasn't willing to surrender it. I love many things that this man that is seeking to know God. That's what he was doing, folks. He was seeking to know God. I love how polite and respectful he was to God's son, Jesus. I love the fact that he was rich. I think he had worked hard. I think it didn't come to him easy. I love the fact that he was very eager. We are told in the scripture that the young man came running up to Christ. And I love it that he knelt before him. He showed his submission and his willingness to be taught when he addressed to Jesus, when he addressed Jesus as teacher, teacher, good teacher. Tell me what I need to do. Now that's all good things in his life. That's all good things that we see of who, what kind of a person he was. You would love to have him for your son-in-law. You would love to have him for your husband. He was a good man. But the only thing, he sold out to money. He's a slave to money. Money is mastering his life. Money had control of him. And Jesus knew that. By the way, I hope you understand that Jesus knows what's controlling your life. What's keeping you from surrendering to him? In this man's case, it was money. He felt good. He felt he had the idea of security that we're talking about because he had money. And many times people do that. If I just had more money, I'd be more secure. But you know what, folks? We're going to leave all that stuff behind. I always remind at funerals, there's nothing wrong with having toys, but all the toys that you and I have, we're going to leave behind one day. All of your money that you have, it isn't going to be your bank account that's calling count because you're going to leave it all behind one day. You don't take anything with us. The Bible says we came into this world naked, and we're going to leave the same way. We don't take any of it with us. The young man was unwilling to do this, surrender the master money from his life. And that gloom spread all over his face, the sadness of what Jesus asked him to do. And he was very rich, but I want you to know one thing that you got to keep in your mind and heart, how Jesus looked at him. Jesus looked at him with love, saying, I love you. I love you very much. And if you'll just get rid of that which is controlling your life, give it to others, give it to the poor, spread it among them. That'll give you treasures in heaven because you're helping others. Come and follow me and let me become the leader of your life. Instead of that money becoming the leader of your life, Jesus is speaking to him in love. He's looking to him in love. And the man turns, and I think he lowers his head and he walks away. He's sad. That wasn't what he was hoping to hear. Jesus looks at you and I today. And I believe Jesus looks at each one of us, whoever you are, under the hearing of my voice. I believe when Jesus looks at you, he looks at you as love. He looks with that love look that says, I love you. I love you so much that I was willing to give my life for you. I love you. Can you get rid of that thing? Can you get rid of whatever it is that you are serving? Get rid of what it is that would make you walk away from Jesus. And we need to get rid of that because it's going to cause us all kinds of difficulties. I don't want to walk away from Jesus, folks. I want to walk towards him. I love the way it's described in the Old Testament. Instead of using the term walk away, it says, they lifted up their heel against me. In other words, then he turned and walked away. The heel was lifted up against whatever they was walking away from. God is asking for us to seek him. He's asking for us not to walk away, but to come to him, walk towards him. It would have been so good if that young man just could have bowed down and said, you know what, Jesus, I'm going to do that. I'm going to get rid of all my money. It's controlling me too much anyway. And we already talked about don't worry about things. And that's all I do is worry. I believe the more you have, the more worry you have. It seems as though, folks, that we think if we just had a little more money, everything would be okay. But that's not the way it works in the reality of our life. The best days of my life, wife and I's marriage, and our 60 years of married life, has been when we struggled to make it. Has been when we had to trust God that we didn't have it. But in trusting God, He provided. And it's a blessing to know that He wants to do that for you. Now, I want to come to this point because I believe there's so much about that young man that I really love. His politeness, his way of coming to Jesus, his eagerness to learn, his willingness to learn. But then when he learned what was needed, he turned away and walked away. You know, when it comes to you and I surrendering to God, I believe one of the things that keeps us from surrendering to God is too often we have our own idea of what God's like. You know, if you think God is just up there in heaven and he's peering down over the heavens and he's watching you and just waiting to see when you mess up, and when you mess up, he's going to slap you one, so to speak, I don't blame you for not wanting to surrender your life to God. That kind of a God. I wouldn't want to neither. But you see, I think you and I would hesitate to surrender a God that's going to domineer our life. But God's talking about being a leader in your life. He's talking about you becoming a follower of His. Come and follow me, Jesus said. See how life is lived in this way. You know what you and I need today? We need a concept of God as described in the Bible. I cannot understand why you would hesitate from turning your life over to God's control when you get a picture of the God of the Bible. We need to have in our mind not what we think God's like, not maybe the way we have kind of perceived God, but what does the Bible say about Him? I love the way God shares it in the book of Jeremiah chapter 9. Talking to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel at one time would be serving God. Next minute, they're turning away and they're serving idols. And God was telling them the same thing He's telling us today. You can't serve two masters. How can you bow down and worship an idol? Something you made with your own hands, and yet they were doing that. God is reminding them of what He's like. Thus says the Lord. You know, we need more of that. Thus says the Lord. It's not what you think and say. It's not what somebody else thinks and say. We would have many different descriptions of God if we just asked people, what do you think God's like? They give their description of God as they see God. As they sense God, as they think God should be. Some people want God to be a Santa Claus to their life. Some people think God's way off somewhere and He don't really care. Some people seem to think that God is one that's just waiting for us to mess up, as I mentioned a moment ago. Listen to what the Lord says. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Let not the mighty man glory in his might. Coming back to the wise man, to the man we just talked about, let not the rich man glory in his riches. That's not what it's about. But let him who glories glory in this. It's like God saying, now I'm going to give you something that's powerful. I'm going to give you something that's going to change your life. I'm going to give you something that should become the foundation of how you live. Glory in this. Don't glory in your might. Don't glory in your wisdom. Don't glory in your money. But glory in this. What's the this, God? that he understands and knows God. Oh, I love that. The glory is that you understand how God works. That God works in love. That you know God is love. That you know that God loves you. As we've already covered, that you know that God cares about the birds. And God's already told us, you're more valuable than the birds, so I care about you. Understands and knows God. That I am the Lord. That I'm the Supreme One. That we come to that place where we surrender to Him and turn our lives over to Him. That, He says, is something to glory about. But now He's going to go on and tell us what this God is like. And I love the word in this translation that I have that He uses to tell us about it. He says, exercise, that this Lord exercises. Now, everybody in this day and age know what exercise is. It's where you're doing some workout of some sort. It's where you're keeping in shape in some for many different reasons. And this is what God exercises in the world around you and I, in the earth that we're living in. The Lord exercises loving kindness. That's what the Lord wants to exercise in your life. Loving kindness. Judgment, which is the idea of discernment. Knowing what is good and knowing what is not good. Knowing what is beneficial to your life and knowing what is going to hurt your life. That's what Jesus was trying to do while He looked at that man in love. He's saying, you're going to live your whole life with this money and you're going to leave it all behind. God's trying to get through to him with a realization. That's not good enough for life. Come and get rid of your riches and give it to the poor and you'll have treasures in heaven. But he was just thinking of treasures on earth. Not only does he exercise judgment, but he exercises righteousness. God exercises wanting to see what is right. He says that. That's why I exercise righteousness, that he is the Lord who delights to exercise this on earth. He desires to do this on earth. In my heart, folks, today, I find it so easy to surrender the control of my life to such a God because I really want him to exercise loving kindness in my life, to give me the discernment, the judgment, to know what is good and what is not good, what is beneficial and what's going to hinder me, what's going to count for eternity and what's only going to count for time. And I want to be known for the right things in my life. Knowing how to do that which is right. Not only in my relationship with myself, but what is right with my wife, what is right with my children, what is right with my fellow man. God wants us to know that. This is only possible when we understand the power is of God and it's not of ourselves. I love this verse from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, 6 and 7. It says this, He said, this is one of the most humbling verses when you get a hold of it for your own life. It says, God has commanded light to shine out of darkness. There's a lot of darkness in our world, a lot of darkness in our life. And God has commanded light to shine out of darkness, he says. For it is God commanded this light, he says, he's commanded it who has shined in our hearts. He shined in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the very presence of Jesus, face of Jesus. He wants us to know that knowing God and surrendering your life to Him, that's a very good thing to do. But we have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of the power, this power working in my life and this power working in your life, he said, I want you to know that it's a power coming from God and not from ourselves and not from within ourselves. I came across this statement that is worth thinking about. Ralph Waldo Emerson, the great American philosopher, wrote, "It behooves us to be careful what we worship, for we are becoming, what we worship." What we worship is becoming you and I. That man, without knowing it, was worshiping money. And God didn't want him to do that. Jesus loved him for more than that. So I'd like to close today with a verse from the Apostle Paul. And I would like to have us consider that we can know that this verse can be a part of your life as well as be a part of my life. "For which cause," Paul said, "the cause of Jesus, I also suffer those things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he," God, "is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day." That gives security, to know we can trust God. You see, what God is saying, what I want to do in your life, is something that all the fast food places was working on, and some of them still do it. They say, you know what you can do is king-size your meal. King-size your meal. And to king-size your life, we need to turn it over to the King. There's not much more that I can say than that, folks. I just need to say thank you to those that helped with the financial cost of the broadcast. Court Warner, Premium Truck and Auto, Marie Rivard, Gay London, Doug and Noreen Lane. Thank you so much for your financial support. I appreciate that so much because that's what keeps us being able to have the broadcast continue to come. But you know what, folks? Amongst everything else, the most important thing that matters in your life and my life is to understand that we need to seek God first, and all of these other things will be added unto us. And in seeking God first, we can come to that place that we too can say, like the Apostle Paul said, and what this song is going to sing about, is the realization that you and I can not only trust this God, but we can know whom we have believed, and we can be persuaded that he, God, is able to entrust, or able to keep whatever you and I have entrusted into him. I would encourage you, surrender your life to Jesus. Let him be in charge. Time for me to go. Bye-bye.